Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by cool producer Joel.
Hey Mark.
Hello Joel.
How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
My voice was so shaky then because I was convinced I hadn't pressed record. So I was just sort of checking it while also saying, hi Mark.
And you had.
Yeah.
Well done Joel. I pressed record as well. Look at us. Look at us. Joel, I mean, this is the furthest away we've been for... that's a lie. You went on holiday.
Yeah.
I was going to say distance-wise, but...
The furthest we've spoken to each other.
Furthest away we've recorded.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Edinburgh. Woo! At the Comedy Festival.
Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so you normally come up to the Edinburgh Comedy Festival, don't you, Joel?
Yeah,
you've had a keen interest since I've been up here, texting me, asking me what it's like. It's really weird, Joel.
You haven't replied to any of them.
I haven't replied. This is the first time I spoke to you. It's weird, mate. It's weird. Like, there's no one.
Yeah.
Just sort of... someone from Edinburgh said it's just like any day, you know, Monday night during the year. In the summer, in Edinburgh. Basically, not as many people about as the festival. It's weird. And the gigs are sold out, which is good. That was good. Very nice.
So what's going, like, is there anything on the Royal Mall? Are there posters around? Like,
there are very few, hardly any posters. Mm-hmm. There's still people on the Royal Mall, but it's just, you know, what do you mean, like the performers on the...
Yeah. Leafletters, performers.
No leafletters. I don't think they're allowed this year because of COVID.
Okay.
Even
if you laminate your leaflet and spray it before you hand it to someone.
That's quite a lot of effort, isn't it, Joel, for someone to then go and put it in the bin straight away. and then, a street performers. There are some, but it's hardly anyone watching them, which is a bit sad. And then the gigs, they're really careful up here still of COVID. Like, there's masks everywhere still. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the gig are wearing masks. So that's weird.
Yeah.
And they're really socially distanced as well. So it's you have to kind of recalibrate what you expect from the gig, if you know what I mean. Because they're not all stuck together like a great comedy club with low ceilings. And it's like it's a really polite kind of theatre-y crowd rather than a raucous comedy club. But all the audiences have been really nice. They've been great. I think they're really happy that stuff's happening again in Scotland.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Have you seen anything else?
No. I'm staying out of... Well, one, everything's sold out. And the other thing is I'm staying quite far out of Edinburgh this year. So I'm on the little seasidey little town thing called Queensferry.
Nice.
Heard of Queensferry, Joel?
No, I haven't.
It's
what's it famous for?
Well, there's a bit of water.
Yeah.
And there used to be a boat, I think.
That used
to take the Queen across it.
Where would it take her?
To Fife.
Oh, lovely.
Well, to North Queensferry. Because I'm in South Queensferry, and it used to go across, apparently. Interestingly, do you want to know some more facts about Queensferry, Joel?
I'm desperate to know, yeah.
There are three bridges, quite impressive-looking bridges, all quite close together. One of them's a train bridge, which,
yeah,
built in 1820, saw a sign.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
And that's not the fact I was going to tell you. There's two car bridges. And do you want to know why there's two car bridges, Joel?
I do.
One car bridge, the original car bridge, structurally not safe.
Okay.
So now it just has buses going across, which
much safer.
Which I'm assuming is because
big heavy buses.
That's what I thought. And you can walk along it, apparently.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to walk along at the same time a bus is going over.
No, there's different parts. Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. I think it's probably if there were, I don't know, 50 cars on it at once, maybe that's an issue, but one bus is okay. And then they built another bridge. Lovely looking newer bridge.
And yeah, the third bridge.
The third bridge. And then, apparently, they've got these really cool, funky, like, metal... I don't even know what you'd call them. Long poles
on the
side to make it look funky. Mm-hmm. And apparently, when it's really icy, they get covered in really hot, big, thick ice, and the ice falls off into the road and they have to close the bridge. So they've had an absolute nightmare. But I think the train one works.
They need to, who are they giving the job of bridge designing to in Queensferry?
<I know. laughs> There you go. But that's a little fun fact for you. I discovered a lovely little quaint little town.
Nice.
So yes, that's what I've been doing on the road, Joel. On the road, what have you been doing?
Nothing really as exciting as that, Mark. To be honest, I've had a pretty calm time after my birthday.
Have you?
I've just been settling into being 30 years old. Yeah.
Anything new that's happened? About you know where you've been like, oh, that's what being 30 is like.
Yeah, I struggle to get out of bed in the morning now.
Do you make a noise when you stand up?
I do make a noise when I stand up, when I sit down.
That noise.
Yeah. I love talking about bridges now.
Me too, actually. Yeah, love bridges.
Before, I would have found that so boring. 2 weeks ago, I'd have been so bored talking about the bridges of Queensferry. Now I can't get enough.
Do you want some more facts about the bridges?
Yeah.
I haven't got any. I can Google it, though, if you want. I'll do that. I can hear you type. Are you Googling it as well?
I'm just looking at the... were we talking about Queensferry earlier? Population 9,350.
Oh, I love that you love The Office.
Mark, we can't have a podcast where people are listening to us Google a town no one's heard of in Scotland. It's stupid.
The old Queensferry crossing was built alongside existing Forth Road Bridge and carries the M90 motorway across the...
Snooker player Stephen Hendry's from Queensferry. There you go.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, that I am impressed with that.
As is a man called David Boner.
David Boner. What does David Boner do?
Former footballer David Boner.
Do you know him?
No, he played 40 games in his professional career. He was born in 1941.
I heard he was quite hard.
David Boner.
Do you want to hear my Stephen Hendry joke that never works?
Yep.
I met Stephen Hendry. He told me he used to be on a snooker TV show hosted by Jim Davidson. I said, big break. He said, nah, I was already famous.
That's good.
Yeah, never works. Is that because big break is, I mean, that's 90s, isn't it? Like, that's really old.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed that, Joel. So anyway, this week, we've got a slightly different... I mean, people, when they've clicked on the podcast, will know that it's a slightly different episode this week. Edinburgh, lots of stuff's going on, Joel. So what we thought we'd do is we would do a bonus 361 jokes, 5 at a time podcast, which is normally exclusive to the Patreon. And Patreon listeners will also this week get another episode of 361 jokes 5 at a time. For those of you new to that podcast concept, I tell producer Joel 5 jokes from my 361 off-cut jokes, and he comments on it. We have a chat about the joke, and then I ask Joel a probing question about his life linked to the joke. So shall we throw over to the podcast? We make it look really professional and like they're two separate things, but realistically, we're just going to keep recording.
Let's throw over to the podcast.
Here it is. Hello, and welcome welcome to 361 jokes, 5 at a time. We don't ever need to chit-chat in this one, do we, Joel? We just get straight into it. Producer Joel's here, by the way.
Hey, everyone. I'm still here. I'm here.
So I'm going to throw the first joke at you, Joel. I went to a restaurant with 7 Michelin stars. If I'm honest, I think it was overrated.
Nice.
Do you like that?
Nice.
You know what, Joel? Little peek behind the curtain. Well, it's not even, well, that's what this podcast is, I suppose. Written down here, I've got, I went to a restaurant with 7 Michelin stars. I think it was overrated. And as I was saying it, I was thinking, that rhythm needs changing. So what did I just change it to? Because I think that's made it better. Went to a restaurant with 7 Michelin stars. What did I say?
To be honest, I think it was overrated, isn't that what you
just said? To be honest?
I think so.
So I went to a restaurant with 7 Michelin stars. To be honest, I think it was overrated. Yeah, I think that sounds better. I might try that again, Joel.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think of that? Do you think it's because you can't get a 7 Michelin star restaurant, and that's the point. But do you think when I say it at the beginning, the audience is going, Do you think that throws the joke off at all? Do you think if they're going, they're then thinking to themselves, well, you can't do that. There's no such thing. And then you tell them.
Maybe.
I think it's okay. I quite like it.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Are there any other overrated? I think Michelin star is the best thing for overrated. Because what else gets rated? TripAdvisor? You get rated on there?
Yeah, but then you'd have to say it had like 11 out of 10 for it to work, wouldn't you?
Is it out of 10 on TripAdvisor?
I think so.
Yeah.
But what about something that's like a, it wouldn't make any
what's
sense.
The famous thing that gets 5 stars other than sort of comedy shows? Or is that only with theatre and comedy and things?
Yeah, I think stars? It's only theatre, films and albums and stuff.
Did you
too,
say it with
they?
A film?
What, it got 6 stars?
You've probably got to go more than 6, 7 probably for the, you know, maybe.
But then are they not sure I think it's out of 10 then?
Good
I don't know.
Point. But do they? But do people, and also, do people know the rating system of Michelin stars? Like, do people know that you can't get 7? Because what can you get? Can you get 5 Michelin stars? Or is it 3?
Aren't there only a few restaurants in the world that got 3? I think in theory you could get more, but no one has.
Here's a question for you, Joel. What do you reckon? Do you think, really, comedically, you should go big or go home? 17 Michelin stars. And then that's better, isn't it, for then it being overrated?
Yeah.
So what number you reckon, Joel? What's your?
I do like 17. 17 is a good comedy number, I think.
Yeah. So I went to a restaurant with 17 Michelin stars. If I'm honest, I think it was overrated. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, might retry that, Joel. So here's your question, Joel. Have you been to a Michelin star restaurant?
I don't think I have, no.
You've never been to a Michelin star restaurant? No, I don't think so. Believe that, Joel, because you are a foodie.
Well, I don't actually know.
And we went to a restaurant the other day, which was, we spoke about on the podcast, I believe. And that was sort of, it wasn't, you know, proper posh. I've been to one, definitely one Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
It's weird because literally my gut instinct is
nice.
That's not enough food.
Yeah.
But it's so rich that it does fill you up. Mm-hmm. And I had this, what did I have? There's something I was like, oh God, I can't believe I'm going to eat this. Because you know you've got like a limited menu in those places. And it was some sort of pork belly with, we might have spoken about this on the podcast before, I don't know, with apple sorbet. With a sorbet, with dessert on it. And I had it, and it was a taste sensation. Absolutely delicious.
I was talking absolute rubbish, and I've been to a few of these restaurants.
Oh, have you?
I think I forgot. So the thing about Michelin stars, they quite famously change in like the last 20 years or something. So it used to be that like only a few restaurants had Michelin stars in the world.
Right.
And then they changed the rating system so that like affordable places would also earn Michelin stars, I think.
Right.
Because there's like
So you say, so somewhere that's affordable could still have a brilliant chef. So do you reckon the actual quality of the food is still the same, like ratings wise, but
I think so.
They were only going and checking out the people that it was only expensive.
Super expensive, super fancy places. So do you reckon that's... And now, like, there's places in Tokyo, like ramen places in Tokyo that have Michelin stars and stuff.
Michelin stars is a global thing.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. So do you think that's made it more difficult for people, like the old, like the really expensive Michelin star places, because they're like, well, you can go to Michelin star places.
I don't know. No, but don't they normally have a, you know, a big chef's name above the door anyway? Also, like, isn't that more of a pull? What's more of a pull, going to eat a Michelin star restaurant or going to eat a Heston Blumenthal restaurant? Probably the Heston thing, right?
My gut instinct would be the other, actually. Because with the Heston one, that then makes you think it's more like a franchise, probably. As in, not a franchise, but like there's probably a few, aren't there? Or he's probably not working there, is he? Or is he?
No, true. I don't know.
Whereas a Michelin star, you're like, ah, oh, that's a raw,
Do we know fresh... anything about restaurants?
No, but you're Googling away, so I'm happy to learn. And do chefs get Michelin stars, or do the restaurant get Michelin stars?
Oh, I don't know. I think it depends.
If you know, tweet in. Let us know.
Let us know.
Jokes with Mark. Lovely stuff. Good start there, Joel. Are you ready for the next joke, Joel?
I'm ready.
I'm having trouble paying for my double glazing, so I asked them for an extension. They said not till you paid for your windows. I've always liked that joke. I've had it a long time. Yeah. It's never been consistent. Never been consistent enough to put in the set. Now, shall we try and work out why that is, Joel?
Yes.
Okay, over to you. So is it... I mean, I'm under the impression, I believe, that the places that do extensions also sell windows. Am I making a mistake there? Like if someone's selling...
No, because if you got an extension, it would have windows in it.
Correct. But if a double glazing salesman came over, would he sell you an extension? Could he sell you an extension?
Maybe. No, I don't know.
You don't know? So do you think that might be an issue?
It could be an issue, yeah.
Oh, that's annoying. Because then that just throws the whole thing out. They said not until you've paid for your windows. It's quite a long set. It's quite a long punch.
I got a bloke round to convert my loft while he was there. I said, could I have an extension? He said, not until you've paid for the loft. No.
You need, because it has to be, I'm having trouble paying for something to want an extension on.
Well, okay. I'm having trouble paying for my loft conversion. They would, your loft conversion guys, they're always going to do an extension, aren't they? It is an extension.
I think Windows is more likely than a loft conversion company to do an extension. Because at loft conversion, they're just taking what's there and just sticking stuff in and sorting it out, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are you Googling this first, Joel?
No.
Are you not fact-checking the Windows and the
extension? No, I'm not fact-checking. I don't even know what I'd start to Google.
Okay, let's do it live. Google Windows, double glazing? Is that the double glazing windows and extensions? And if there's one company covers both, that's not the reason the joke doesn't work. I think maybe the punchline is too long. They said you've got to pay, not until you've paid for your windows. It's long, isn't it?
There's loads, mate. Everest, they look like they're only doing Everest, windows and doors.
Everest only do windows and doors?
Looks like it, yeah.
Everest don't do extensions. Who does extensions then? Who puts the windows in extensions?
A building company would do it all, wouldn't it?
So should I talk... Building company don't do windows, do they? I think we've found the problem.
Of course they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
But then wouldn't they bring...
You would only get a window company if you were replacing your existing windows. If someone was building you a house, but they would also put the windows in.
Would they not go to the building people to...
No, of course not.
So can I change that to building company?
Yeah, I guess
so. But building company wouldn't have... I wouldn't be paying them for my double glazer, would I? I'd have paid them for my house.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going deep into this joke. But let us know what you think at Jokes with Mark. Tweet in or Instagram or whatever. That's probably it. I don't know why in my head I got that they all were the same. But there's no other way of... Unless it's... What? Does that... No, if it was a bank, talking to the bank about the loan. So I got a loan from the bank for my double glazing. I went in there, I said, I'm having trouble paying. Can I get an extension? I said, not until you paid for the windows. But they wouldn't be the ones that made that decision. But then, are they thinking I'm asking?
Yeah, they would.
Are they thinking I'm asking for another loan for an extension?
Yeah, maybe.
So do you think that solved the problem?
I think that might have solved the problem.
And can you get an extension on a loan in a bank?
Yeah, of course.
You can?
Yeah.
Well, that's worth trying then again, isn't it?
Problem solved.
Bit of fun. We did it. Bit of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, your question, Joel. What is your question? What do I ask you? Have you ever worked for a Windows company? I did a little sort of corporate.
I used to sell computers.
Is that true, or are you making a joke?
No, I did.
Oh, did you?
But that is also because they had Windows on them.
Yeah. Oh, well done. That's a good link, Joel.
Thanks, Mark.
Where was that? PC World.
I worked in the Big Curries in.
Oh, did you?
Rochester. Yeah.
How was that?
It's pretty good, mate.
How was that customer service wise? Because Rochester's an interesting place. Rochester.
Yeah, it was interesting. Someone. I had. There's quite a lot of theft, and I had. You know, people would do stuff like come in and buy a washing machine in pound coins.
What?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they would. Like a shoebox of pound coins.
A shoebox of pound coins will not pay for a washing machine, Joe.
So someone would come in. Yeah, they might have been two shoeboxes. They might have big feet. Someone would come in and buy a washing machine with exactly the right number of pound coins for that washing machine. And your manager would stand over your shoulder and make sure that you still offered them the extended warranty for like 150 quid. Like they were going to produce a different shoebox that was their extended warranty shoebox. And you'd have to count out all the pound coins. It's so funny.
What? How much is a washing machine, Joel? Or back in...
Anywhere between 220 and 700 quid, aren't they? You know, they're... Depends on the sort of machine you want. Whether you're going Zanussi or Smeg.
You know what? I'd love to just be known as the guy that pays for everything in pound coins of his shoebox. Just everything.
The same shoebox.
Everything.
Well, I imagine what it was is like whenever they had a quid, they squirreled it away and then they used it for big purchases. But it's quite funny, isn't it, to do? And I tell you what also would happen a lot, because it was quite near my school. Quite often teachers would come in, my teachers, and like buy a freezer off me.
Right.
Which was a really weird dynamic. You know when you see your teachers out in the wild, it's quite weird.
Yeah.
But it's even weirder if you're trying to sell them a toaster. And they're like asking you about the toaster. And they're your history teacher. Because it was when I had the job when I was in sixth form. And my head of sixth form came in once, right?
Yeah.
And he bought a chest freezer.
Yeah.
And I just knocked 40 quid off the price of the chest freezer.
Oh, did you?
Let me tell you, I didn't get in trouble for being late for the next 2 years.
Good grades as well.
Yeah. I'd like to think that was just down to my own brain.
That's good business sense.
That is good, but yeah, of course. I did it all the time. If it was people I knew or, you know, people in positions of authority over me, just do a little discount. Just pretend there was a big dent in it or something.
And you could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well done, Joel. I used to give large popcorn to people when they just had ordered a small.
Oh, that's
friends
nice.
Of mine.
I think popcorn's gotten smaller, or I've gotten bigger. Not the actual size of the corn. Yeah. That's pretty consistent. Yeah. But the boxes. When I went to the cinema recently and got a large popcorn, it just felt, I don't know.
Well, large, I feel, is still large, but everything else is very small because they want you to get the large.
I want you to get the large, yeah.
Wow. There we go. Okay. Oh, good one. Good.
And I also think a real problem is that now because of COVID, they put that little hat on it, don't they?
I haven't seen that. They don't do that in Cineworld.
Oh, well, in View, they put a little hat on it. So it's like a sealed... Maybe that isn't because of COVID. Maybe it's just because they don't want people throwing popcorn everywhere. But the problem there is that normally you get like a piled high popcorn.
Yeah, now it's a level.
That goes above the level. But now it's it's flush to the box, which is a shame.
Motherfuckers.
they're motherfuckers. And the Tango Ice Blast machine never works.
And Tango Ice Blasts are amazing. And they're sugar-free, which is great. Did you know that?
I don't understand.
I don't know how they do that. There's something in it. There's something dodgy in it. But
yeah, there's stuff in it that's way worse for you than sugar, surely.
But Cineworld have gone to this other company. It's rubbish. So I don't have any of those. No. Yeah. Anyway, next joke. I'm moving house because of a massive drug problem in the area. No one's selling any.
That's good.
Like that?
Yeah.
I don't ever remember even trying that, Joel.
I think it's a good joke.
I'm moving house, or I've just moved house, and is it better to go, oh, I'm really worried, I've moved house, and I've just discovered there's a drug problem in the area. No one's selling any.
Is no one, what's funnier, no one's buying any or no one's selling any?
Isn't it selling because I'm on the lookout for some?
Yeah, but if no one's buying it, then you're trying to sell it.
Oh, I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah, isn't that funnier?
I'm moving house, so I've just moved house, and it's really, really worrying. There's a big drug problem in the area. Yeah, no one's buying them. How do you make no one's buying any?
Yeah, no one wants to buy them. No one wants to buy any.
Does that 100% sell that I'm selling them?
It
also could mean no one's buying any.
Just generally.
Yeah,
but that would be a weird thing. How would you know that?
I don't know. But you'd want to work out exactly just so that you could. There's no questioning who's doing what. But yeah, I think that is funny if I'm selling them. No one's buying them off me. That sounds clunky.
Yeah.
I can't sell any. There's a big drug problem in the area. Yeah, I can't sell any. Oh, but you can't sell any could mean there's a rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who to sell them to. I don't know. There's something there. Any ideas? Yeah. Let us know at Jokes with Mark. Drug problem in the area. He used to live in Rochester. How was that a bit of a bit of a druggy area? Was it all right?
I think it was broadly fine.
Yeah. Have you ever? I've asked you about drugs. So just to try and change it a little bit, have you ever been in
a crack den?
Ever lived in a crack den, Joel?
No. Never lived in a crack den. No, I've not really. No, I haven't really lived with anyone. I don't know. I haven't really got any exciting drug stories that I'm willing to tell.
University? Any drugs? I don't know about drugs.
No, I can tell. Not really. I think I've told all of my drug stuff on this podcast in previous episodes.
Yeah, I've got some old drug jokes. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah.
I asked my girlfriend how she manages to stay out clubbing till the early hours. She said, with ease.
Good.
That's very old. Doesn't really work. It's okay if something in druggy comes up in a gig. And what was the other one that I actually got working after saying it on the podcast before? Some drugs are class A. That works.
Yeah, that's good.
Cracking stuff. All right, next one. Two to go. I got drunk and fell asleep when making pottery. When I woke up, my head was spinning. They got a nice little smile and an exhale through the nose. That's not a bad response, Joel.
I like it.
I think technically, if you're really going to look deep into it, so the drunk bit and the head spinning, that all works both sides of the joke. But the trouble with the head spinning, if you actually fell asleep and your head was on, I got drunk and fell asleep whilst making pottery. So that if your head wouldn't be spinning if it was on a wheel, on a pottery wheel, would it? Because you're not going to be going around the room. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So your head would probably just be bobbing up and down off of this thing that was spinning.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference, do you think? If your head isn't actually spinning? I don't think so.
I don't think people would... Go on. If you fell asleep on a roundabout or...
But your whole body would be spinning. I mean, your head can't really...
No, your head can't really spin of its own.
I got drunk... Oh, no, that doesn't work. I'll tell you what I was going to say.
While I was breakdancing?
I got drunk while I was breakdancing. No, I got drunk... I'd have to be drunk through breakdancing. I got drunk whilst doing owl impressions... But that doesn't make sense with the wake up bit because my head was spinning.
No, my head was spinning.
Maybe that's, or when I had a terrible hangover. God, don't you hate it when you have a terrible hangover and you're doing owl impressions? Oh, it happened the other day. My head was spinning. Does that work?
That is, it does. I mean, it's mad.
Hang on. When you have a hangover, your head isn't spinning.
No, it's when you're drunk.
It's when you're drunk.
Whenever I get drunk, I do owl impressions.
It's when you drink and then you just lie down.
Yeah.
Your head's spinning.
Mm. Oh, I don't even like thinking about that. That is such a horrible sensation, isn't it?
So hang on. Let's get this going. So I got drunk and laid down on a... That doesn't work, laid down on the pottery wheel. That just... I don't think the pottery thing works at all with that now. Because the sleep thing was why you'd have your head on it. I think that's why I went for sleep. So owl impressions, is that the only?
I think so.
Or what about the exorcist?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I went on a date and got the... Oh, you wouldn't say get the exorcist drunk, and it was a little girl, so you don't want to go on a date with a little girl.
No.
I do an exorcist impressions or owl impressions?
Owl impressions.
And also, your head can't spin.
No, that's very true.
There's
Mark.
A real problem with it at the base, literally.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So, have you ever made pottery, Joel? I think I have. A trendy thing now.
We had a kiln at our school. Did you?
I don't remember a kiln.
Mm.
Is that like a pottery wheel?
No, a kiln is the place you put the clay to cook.
Oh, we did have one of those.
Mm. Why were there kilns at schools?
To make pottery.
Seems dangerous, isn't it?
To make pottery, Joel.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems dangerous to have... Like, kids are so stupid. You would think...
I mean, Bunsen burners.
Has a kid ever been cooked in a kiln? Bunsen burners, I know. Mad.
Have you just said the sentence, has a kid ever been cooked in a kiln? What is wrong with you, Joel? Pick it up a bit.
In the school.
Why?
Hey, one of the worst things I ever did at school is around this subject. It was open evening. Have I told this story before?
No.
It was open evening, and I was being a real geek. I was showing parents, prospective parents and their kid around the school. I was probably like year 9, 10. Did you ever do this?
I can't remember.
So you have an open evening, the parents come with their kid, and they're like, you go show them around, you show them, and at each department, there's something fun going on. You know, like you go to the languages department, and the teacher's dressed up in a beret, and he's pretending that he actually enjoys teaching the subject, and all the other departments got stuff. And you go to science, and... they were talking about this on a podcast I listened to the other day, the socially distant sports bar, where on open evening you go to the science department and it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Like they're doing crazy experiments in there. It's like they make it seem so magical. And then when you actually join the school, all you do is draw pictures of Bunsen. Yeah. So my mate was there in charge of an experiment, and I was showing these parents around or whatever, and it's quite boring. It was probably towards the end of the tour. And I just picked up what I thought was a little spray of water and just sprayed it at my mate's face.
Oh no, what was it?
And it was like
acid.
Yeah.
Christ.
And he just started screaming.
Oh, no. And they just jumped into a kiln.
The teacher, and the teacher came running across the classroom and grabbed him by the back of the head and put him under a sink.
Smashed his head on the floor.
Yeah, and just like rinsed his face off.
Oh.
He was totally fine, absolutely fine, and we're still best mates now. Anyway, obviously I thought I was going to get expelled from school because that's a serious thing to do, right?
But luckily you sold him a fridge freezer.
because he was my best mate, we concocted this outrageous story about me leaning on a pipette while he was tying his shoelaces.
All in that moment of her running over.
Well, no, because the investigation happened days afterwards, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got a detention where I had to go in on a Saturday to pick up litter around the school.
Oh.
Which I thought was pretty light.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just think it's such a funny thing to happen on an open evening.
Yeah.
Just imagine if you're the parents and there's just someone screaming and a teacher's just grabbing them by the back of the head. I bet not a single parent in that room sent their kid to that school.
Yeah, it's weird that there's no one in the year below you.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's funny.
Yeah.
Good answer. Okay, last one, Joel. I told my mate I got mugged in London and reported it. He said, Met police. I said, nah, just spoke to him on the phone.
That's great.
Oh, do you like that?
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's too London centric, do you think, for gigs?
No, everyone knows who the Met Police are.
Yeah. I told my mate I got mugged in London and reported it. He said, Met Police. I said, no, I just spoke to him on the phone. I feel like the punchline could be sharpened up a bit. But anyway, that's. Ever been arrested?
No.
Ever been close to being arrested? Other than, like, disfiguring your best friend?
I don't think I have. No, I don't. I've ever been close to
ever been pulled over, breathalyzed?
No. I must have told the story before about police. I had someone else's ID on me once and I thought the police were going to arrest me then.
Why did you have to see?
I went on like a protest march and police, I don't even know why they were doing this or if they were allowed to be doing this. They were stopping people and checking their IDs, I guess, for troublemakers or whatever.
Yeah.
And at the time I was 16, I used a 16, 17, and I used a guy in the year above's ID because I looked exactly the same as him.
Oh.
And it was just in my wallet and they took it out and I was just too scared to say anything. And so they registered him as the guy that was there. And I spent the entire time thinking, if they look at a single other thing in my wallet, it'll be quite confusing. And I was really nervous, but no. So, you know, I could have done whatever I wanted that day and it would have just been... It would have been all down to him.
Wow.
There you go.
I got pulled over by the police a couple of times. Only ever when I had a Peugeot 206.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've never been pulled over.
The criminal's car.
It must be the criminal's car. I mean, one time I was driving up one way, but the wrong way. I was coming.
That's not the 206's fault.
Not really. I came out of a gig in... Where was I? In Rye. And I didn't know where I was going. And then I was really confused and I just sort of went up this little road and it was a one way. I didn't know that until just as I was driving. And I was thinking, oh, I hope nothing comes. And then the one car that comes down was a police car. What's the chances of that? And they thought I was drunk, but I wasn't. I don't drink.
Just an idiot. Yeah.
Just an idiot. and I got pulled over once before. I got pulled over for speeding, but I don't think I was going really fast. It was in Canterbury, and the police van had to go really fast to sort of catch up with me and overtake this other car, which was way more dangerous than what I was doing. And this woman absolutely read me the riot act.
Wow.
Like, but I wasn't boy racing. I wasn't like,
yeah, yeah.
It was probably 37 in a 30 maybe I think about 11:15 at night. And she just, I think she was in, she's been trained, but and she was sort of, her boss was telling her to do that because she made me feel like a very small Joel.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But you know, learnt my lesson, didn't I? Learnt my lesson. So
get a new car
faster one. So Joel, that is the end. That's the last joke. That was the end of 365 jokes, five at a time.
361 jokes, Mark.
What did I say? Oh, 365. Oh, I haven't made that mistake for ages. I used to say that all the time because of 365 days in a year, I think.
Yeah.
That was 361 jokes, five at a time. Hashtag Awooga.
Oh, that was great.
To Mark and Chola.
I love listening back to that just then. Me and Mark sat in silence as we listened to the old recording of that episode.
That was the end. That's the end, Joel. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back to the normal, regular podcast with guests next week. If you enjoyed 361 jokes, five at a time, you can access more if you go over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark, where there is a brand new one this week as well. So go and check that out. No. Is there anything else to talk about? My show at Leicester Square Theatre is coming soon. It's 2 months away now, October 23rd. Ooh. So if you'd like to come and see that, I'd love to see you there. Tickets available on the Leicester Square Theatre website or in my links in my bio in all of my social media at Jokes with Mark. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you?
For me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.